Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
Gentlemen, listeners, we had a little mini power outage, so it knocked everything out. I'm so sorry about that. Thank you very much for rejoining us. We are speaking tonight on Dear Parent, Your Teen Is Not Your Business, Sign the Government. Now, we were having a very intense discussion with our regular contributor, activist, panelist, Deacon Zeddy Williams, and our co-host, Lady Diamond. They will be back in as soon as all of the connections, beam back in. So let's get started. Now, pretty much to those of you that are joining us in either for the first time or rejoining us, we're going to reiterate a little bit. We have a law, a blanket universal law that allows our teens to go into any public medical facility to get birth control, an abortion, treated for an STD, condoms, have sex without informing the parents and make sure that they get contraception to do it. And they can do all of this, these big decisions with young minds, no matter how old they are, if they're sexually active, they're covered by this. And yet, if they were being driven in on a gurney with an ambulance because they dropped and fell down in some community near their school where a parent wasn't available, the medical staff will refuse to treat your child until there is parental consent. Is that backwards? Do you agree with the confidentiality laws? Well, myself and my two panelists do not. Several of you that answered the question this afternoon on the social media do not. And I think that this is yet another extreme case of government interfering with the household, which should have absolutely no bearing whatsoever on how a parent is raising their children, barring any real abuse. Okay? Please, listeners, do not get my viewpoint misconstrued here. I am not saying that there is not real child abuse out there where government interference is needed for children that are being sexually molested, physically abused, beaten on a daily basis for absolutely no reason at all, being told that you either look like your mother or you look like your father, so I resent you for what they've done to me. Those things are not what we're speaking on. A child at 14 does not have the mental maturity, capacity, or comprehension to understand how to make a fully informed decision on having sex or what comes with it. Not at all. A parent not being involved with a decision that a child of that age or any age up to age 18, something that's life-changing for a child of a young age, is one of the reasons why our youth are where they're at today. It's where they're at today. You've taken away everything that made a child's existence enriched. You've cut every option that they have that could have distracted them from trying to get involved in a relationship sooner than their own minds can handle. You have definitely taken away a parent's right and strength and support for their child to be there. Because some child told you that they might get yelled at, they're afraid of getting kicked out, they might get beaten. If a child is getting beaten with a crowbar on a daily basis within an inch of their life all the time for no reason, that's abuse. If a parent flipped out because they heard the news of their child having an STD or a baby that they're going to make a decision on, or having sex in the first place at 14 and 12 and 11. The parents have a right to react in an offset way. They have a right. Children, teens, you need to understand, they have a right to react because they spend all of their time trying to protect you from those very demons, those very fears. Okay? Those very fears. They have a right. And you have to allow them the right to absorb it all, to be shocked, to be upset, to be disappointed, to be heartbroken, to be afraid for you. Going to take a little break so that we can reassess everything and, you know, reconvene everything that we had before the interruption happened. What I would like for all of you to do is to listen in to Coco Jones with So Good to Be Home. And you teens that requested this song, you know, hopefully it's touching you the way the song means to, okay, that you have a way to be back. We'll be back in 3.5 minutes, okay?
Little song we got called Striving. You gotta keep moving. No matter what the obstacle, no matter what the test, you gotta push through it. He'll help you.
Every day of the week, when I see you got his angels rocking over me. Everything for me, nothing now for me. Now tell me how good it is.
No, never give up.
Find a dial tone. Looking for some healing, not a fake feeling. Tell me, do you feel me? I didn't know who to call, no friends at all, till I heard a voice in my head. It said keep pressing on, and keep striving, striving on. Go wrong, keep your face strong, and hold on, yeah, try and you will see that Jesus Christ is reality, that's why he's real to me, he made a way out of misery.
Listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Those of you that are rejoining us, thank you very much for sticking with it. We had an unexpected brief power outage, which affected everybody's connectivity, and I'm so glad that you all took the time to call back in and listen it. If you can hang out with us, they've extended the show for the full 2-hour length, and you can hang out as long as you can. It's all right. We can shorten the show since we've heard most of it. Those of you that are just joining us and would like the opportunity to still talk, 347-327-9967. That is our number here. You're welcome to be discussed, no problem. And I'm going to rejoin I will be rejoining our host, our co-host, Elaine Nieves, and hopefully we'll get Deacon Zeddy Williams back in. Okay, for those of you that don't know, we are speaking tonight about Dear Parent, Your Teen Is Not Your Business, Sign the Government. And we are speaking about that specific confidentiality law that they've given teens, allowing them to go freely and pick up contraceptives, have sex with protection, have an abortion, a teen pregnancy test, or get tested for STDs without having to inform their parents or a parent be notified. Meanwhile, if your child fell out on a community step somewhere or in school or at a function somewhere and they're wheeled in by an ambulance, they will not be treated unless they can get parental consent, which makes absolutely no sense. Another thing is in schools, if there's a medical person on staff that treats common cuts and common falls in the schools, they are not allowed to let a child that has asthma and has a pump from a doctor be used or be administered by them unless you sign some 3-page form that says when, with a doctor's certified letter proving that this child is legally taking this pump. You know, the child could be sitting there wheezing in front of their face and they won't touch them without having some legal backup. So that's the question. How do you feel about that? Do you feel a parent should be involved? So Lady Diamond, I'm going to bring you back in. And I'm going to ask you again for our new listeners, your viewpoint on those laws. Hello?
Hello? Well,
yes. I want you, because we have a couple of new listeners in, to reiterate your viewpoint on the teen confidentiality laws that is given to our teens, preventing them or absolving them of having to go to a parent to make sexual decisions, abortion decisions, things to that effect.
Let's put it in this example, right? Yeah, I was going to say that earlier, and I was, you know, I wasn't able to. What I was going to say was that I go to Planned Parenthood for my GYN. I go to Planned Parenthood for my GYN, and there was this one time that I was going to go for, I think, a blood test or something like that, and it's within the building. And there was this girl. I cannot say, she's no older than maybe 15, 16 years old. And she was crying, and she came up on one of those floors that is like an abortion floor. You know, so I'm talking about, and I went into my blood test, and the girl, she was crying and crying, and she was like, I'm never going to do this again. I'm like, what? And I looked at her and said, And she just wouldn't stop crying. And I told her, I said, so are you going to do this again? And, I mean, it was not my business at first, but then I had to put myself into it at the moment. But she was crying her eyes out. And she was alone. She was leaving. And the other way, she couldn't stop crying. And I'm like, are you going to do this again? No, I'm never going to do this again. I'm like, okay, does your parents know? And it's, no, her parents did not know. I'm like, well, now you know, and are you going to do this again? Are you thinking it as a punishment now? You know, you should have never done this in the first place, all the way in the beginning. And next time, tell your mom and dad. I bet you they're going to try for the, how come you're throwing up? How come you're bleeding so much? How are you going to explain that to your parents when they see that? And then she's still crying. She stopped crying. She went, oh. I said, exactly. Just because your parents doesn't know what you just did right now doesn't mean they're not going to find out sooner or later. It will show up. It will show up in the medical records. It will show up that when she goes to the emergency room, why is my child in the emergency room? Oh, she has a major hemorrhage in her uterus. Really, why?
And you see, now that's the funny part, okay? Because she went and got this procedure done. What? God forbid that something went horribly wrong with the procedure, as you just said, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So she got rid of the baby behind her parents' back, but now there's an after effect from the procedure itself. She got an infection in her uterus, which now she may never have children when she's actually comprehensive of doing so, when it's time for her to have children. So that's one. Okay, number two, now she has to go to the emergency room to treat this emergency. And guess who needs to be there now?
Exactly, the parents.
Okay, you know, this is the funny thing. Government, what are you guys drinking up there? I'm not understanding.
And the thing is, even if the parents don't find out at that moment, later on they will. Later on they will. When a girl does have a child. And they look at they talk about the medical history of the child. You had an abortion, da da da. And nursing and doctors never have a spilling allowed so accidentally. And that's when ears open, they're like, wait a minute, when did this happen?
See, and that's where it becomes like a catch 22. So the procedure that brought on this emergency was considered protected under teen confidentiality laws, which is really a teen restraining order of information from the parents. Okay.
Right.
And then, however, now that the child is going there to be treated for an infection from this procedure gone wrong, then what is told to the parents who is now legally responsible for bringing that child in to be treated for this subsequent problem? Are they still going to say, parents, step out of the room, let me ask this child, you know, about a medical history? This is the problem. Do you guys think it's true? We have another caller in, and I'm going to see what their perspective is on this. Just give me one second. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Miles.
Hi, Monster Miles.
Hey, Miles.
This is
Well,
Miles, we're speaking tonight on, you know the title. The title is Dear Parent, Your Teen Is Not Your Business, Sign the Government. And we're speaking on specifically the confidentiality law that's been passed around by teens who are able to pull behind their parents' back and get free access to contraceptives, pregnancy tests, abortions, adoption, all those things, without a parent's involvement by law. What's your take on that?
I mean, like, I see it from both sides. You got to understand, teens are afraid to tell their parents about anything. And that's, I guess, in a way, that's why the law is there for us to be able to protect ourselves from our parents, because some parents are stricter than others, especially during this generation, since a lot of people are getting abortions, a lot of people catch STDs, they don't want their family knowing they have sex, or else they will be considered a slut or something in their culture, and they don't want to make their family look bad, so of course they're going to have to go behind their family's back and go to a hospital and find out everything. If they get pregnant, they got to go get an abortion. But as for it being, will parents find out eventually? Yeah, but during that time period, you have time to think of any excuse. I mean, like, you got to understand, at the same time, though, it's patient-doctor confidentiality, so the doctor can't tell your parents necessarily, unless you're underage, about why you came to them in the first place.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you two questions, okay? I'm going to touch on the actual statement about both sides that you just said, and I'm going to ask you a question after. This one first. With regards to, like you said, now, you know, later on, the parents get to know, but not within that time period. So let's bring up an example. You actually called me while Elaine and I were discussing this part. What happens when that secret procedure went bad, all right, because you do understand now. What are your feelings on this? They're allowed to go get a procedure that could kill them, that's going to cause them some guilt feelings or some thought process later. They're going to do all of this at a young age with no parental support, okay? And then now the procedure goes bad. And now the doctor parents have to take them in to get treated for that procedure. Whatever that is, please, somebody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say is, how do you feel about the catch-22 on this? They can go behind the parents' back and get these big procedures done. But yet, if that procedure could go wrong, okay, it's getting louder.
Yeah, it's getting low.
It's getting way loud. If the procedure could go wrong, okay, let me try to see if I can get some feedback down here. Okay, yeah, it's you, Miles. So if the procedure should go wrong, now the parent has to take the child into an emergency room. I'm going to bring you back in, Miles, okay? Just try to fix up. How do you feel, Miles, about the fact that the child can go get this procedure done, now it goes horribly wrong, and now the child has to go back for a medical procedure, a regular medical treatment for the infection to the procedure gone bad, and the parent must bring the child in order to get consent to be treated. How do you feel about that catch-22? Okay. Now I need your answer, and thank you for the noise control.
Well, technically, that child will be in trouble if the procedure went wrong.
No, what I mean is they take away the parents' right to know when it comes down to going and throwing our kids into this trouble, okay? But yet, if that procedure should have gone wrong, the abortion went bad, the birth control had bad side effects, it's causing some heart trouble with the birth control pills or the patch, the child was smoking but didn't want to tell that to the health attendant that was prescribing the stuff at the time, and now there's a side effect. Okay, so now all of this is happening, or something of these things are happening. Now it's no longer just about sex. Now it's regular medical treatment in an emergency room, which the parents are responsible for permitting the doctors to give. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that it's a fair exchange? And do you feel that the doctor should still be able to withhold why the child is there now, since the parent is mandated to be there in order for medical stuff to happen?
I mean, I'm young, so I would have to say that it's still mandated. It is fair for them not to be able to tell your business to your parents if you don't want them to.
Say that one more time. You got a little blurry at the end.
Oh, I was just saying that I find it fair that a doctor shouldn't be able to tell your parents your business exactly unless you want them to.
Well, let me ask you this. You can't play both sides of the fence. You can't be a grown-up and a kid at the same time. So you can't say, listen, stay out of my business. And I'm not talking you. You're 20 or 20-something. So understand what I'm saying. I'm talking 11-year-olds to 17-year-olds. Okay? I'm talking about people that the law does not say is legally an adult yet. You cannot tell the child to eat from both sides of a spoon. Okay, you can't do that. And you can't say to a person, you are old enough to make this big decision with these big adult things without your parents' consent. But if it should go wrong, you cannot go to an emergency room and get treatment without your parents' consent for something that went wrong. So ask again, how do you feel that should be handled? Do you think that now that you need your parents, because you're not breathing properly, and they won't touch you in a medical emergency without a parent's consent. Now, so how do you feel about that? Do you feel that now that you need your parents to sign permission for you to be seen in a life-threatening situation, that they still should have no clue as to why the hell they're there? So I'm going to ask you that, young person and all.
Okay, so they should know if that's the case.
Because that's the way it is, you know. If your child has a cold or a sneeze that looks like now they're going into a fever you can't control, okay, and you're not in the vicinity when they were taken in, they go buck wild calling every switchboard in town looking for this parent to get consent before they will pick up a thermometer to listen to your child, okay? But if you have a child that goes to school, and if you have a child that goes to school that has a chronic documented asthma problem, and they must carry an inhaler with them, that child is not allowed to use the inhaler on the premises or have a nurse treat them in a emergency situation, an asthma attack, if there's not a certified notarized doctor's letter and certified permission on paper from a parent in the child's file. But they can give condoms in a fishbowl or a candy bowl available to your child if they're coming in to get a late pass at the office. They can see it right there without a parent's permission. I ask you again, how do you feel about that? From a young person's point of view.
Well, one, you wouldn't want your parents knowing you're having sex, so of course I find that fine that they're able to get condoms and all of that. At least you know they're being protected.
Okay. Well, condoms is sort of and see, I'm speaking to you from an older person and a parent standpoint, because I think you teens and younger people, well, you, sir, you're able to make your own decisions legally. But you also, from both points of view, yes, but now I'm going to bring something up to you and I'm going to ask you to think about it. Okay? Condoms is the least intrusive, okay? It's the least invasive form of birth control. I'm not talking about you fellas listening in that just don't like the inconvenience of it. Tough noogies, okay? Suck it up. What I'm saying to you is this. Condoms is the safest, one of the safest forms of contraceptives. It doesn't cause anybody to have a heart attack, a stroke, blood clots, heart attack, brain damage, nothing like that. Okay? You could be a smoker and use a condom with no problem. All right? Very few women have reactions to condoms except if it's made with a certain material that they're allergic to. So now let me ask you this. What happens, do you feel that they should have the right to tell your child to go into things that will invade their bodies or have some side effects? First-time birth control pill users, okay? The dosage may be too strong and cause an effect on your daughter. The patch, okay? If their child smokes but was too afraid to tell because in their little mind, they don't understand how to be informative to a doctor. They just want the condoms or the whatever to run out and leave. So now if they're a smoker or they do weed or they do other drugs that this particular medicine can interact with, but they conceal that fact, do you feel that it's okay for them, simply because they're a teen and they don't want their parents to know they're having sex, that the law, the government should allow them to have these type of methods of contraception, okay, without a parent being informed? Now, my daughter just had a stroke or a blood clot problem or a bleeding problem because somebody gave her the wrong dose of pills or her body just couldn't take that. She got a Depo-Provera shot where she lost all her hair, got 110 pounds too fat. She's having mood swings, which caused her to go out there and get herself hurt. There's a Norplant that goes under the skin. She had a bad reaction to. She chose an IUD, which can blow holes in her cervix. She got all of this because the law said she didn't have to tell anybody what she went to go in. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that those type of things should still be concealed from a parent?
Okay, no, not in that case.
Okay, so then now, Elaine, I'll ask you this. Do you feel that the government should be held accountable then when that goes wrong because of this law?
Yes.
I do too. And you, Miles?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
No, since the government has passed a law for teenage confidentiality, yes, they should be held liable for anything that happens to the teenager, since the teenager now has the right to, you know, confide into their privacy and talk to the whoever it is, a nurse, doctor, practitioner, or counselor, if they're sexually active or not, on drugs or smoking or doing, you know, or drinking, you know, or even so, you know, go and have an abortion, go to an abortion clinic and have it done with, or even get birth control or any type of sort, you know. Yes, if anything happens to the teenager within the abortion period or with any type of contraceptive that they use, yes, the government should be held accountable for it. And since they don't want to involve the parents, might as well.
Well, that's true, and I believe that. Now, the other thing I believe that you said, Miles, was you don't think, you know, that a child doesn't want their parents to know certain things. Okay, you're right. But now think about this. Parents, you know, children think from a very limited playing field in the brain, okay? And I say children because even with breasts and tall legs and big muscles, the mind didn't catch up to the physical body yet to absorb things and make sound decisions. So how can the government say that I can't treat a cough, I can't treat, you know, leaking ears or, you know, a swollen throat without your parent, but I can give you permission to go do something that actually you gain experience with understanding how to transition into that point in your life, okay? But you know what? Go jump into this, because that's pretty much what they're saying. hey, when you get the tingle and you don't want to talk to your parents, go ahead, jump into it, but just be safe. Here you go, go, get out. Now, a parent is going to react, a caring parent. Now, like I said, there are exceptions to those rules. I'm not talking about the abusive, brick-beating fathers and mothers that are out there who got drunk and don't like what they saw at the moment and need an excuse to go off. I'm not speaking about the abuse. I'm not. I'm talking about regular, ideal people who's going to have a parent that's going to be shocked, upset, disappointed, angry even when they first hear it. So what do you think about that? If they're going to let them be adults in one way with children's minds, but a parent's role in a child's life is to tell them openly, I love you, I'm not happy with the fact that you've taken this big step so early in your life. I don't think that you should have an abortion, or I don't think you should have a baby this early. But in the end, after the shock is over, have the opportunity now to sit there and still voice that they're disapproving of certain things, but that they're there to support. Now, when a government walks in and tells a child, you don't have to do any of that, they take away a very big support structure that can take a bad situation or a big situation or a life-altering situation, and the support structure that goes in there, which can make it easier and give that baby child a more informed way of making a decision. They take that away because of a child's fear that they're going to be yelled at, beaten, or punished. Do you think the government should do that? Do you think that the government has a right to do that?
No, it's not right, but at the same time, it's the government, so you can't do nothing about it.
Oh, yes, you can. You can definitely make enough noise in City Hall, and the person that voted it in, you vote them right out in the next election. But let's take it from you. You have younger brothers and sisters, and how would you feel, you know, if you found out, I mean, at least with you, maybe you wouldn't feel like you should go to your parents because your parents, you were there once. You were at that place once. But wouldn't you at least like to know that as the older brother, at least you're there to help them be supported or informed or somebody they could talk to when they can't talk to their parents?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the government took that away. And that's what I'm saying. Because nobody, no matter how upset we parents get, the bottom line is that our world is our children. Let's say they're an only child, and they don't have very good friends. As a matter of fact, they probably got slept with on a dare because maybe they don't feel so popular. And out of that dare, one-time thing, comes a baby or a disease. So because now this child is afraid and they're not being guided or enforced to eventually tell their parents. Now, I feel that maybe a doctor shouldn't tell a parent right away, but make sure that the child knows that you have a certain amount of time that you have to tell because this thing is going to start eating away at you. And if you don't, we're mandated to tell your parents, but I'm going to give you time to do it yourself. There's even ways for a child to tell their parent and feel secure. There's supervisors they can get. They can ask a pastor to come over and intervene. They can ask a counselor to be present when the child brings the news up. I know one of my older teens, when I found out she was sexually active out of the blue, my pastor came and got it out in front of me. And I was able to cry, be upset, tell her that I was disappointed in it, but that I would be there for her at all times. You take away that child's complete right to have somebody there with them because of what a child will immediately fear. That is not a government's place.
I want that too.
That's not a government's place. I'm sorry it isn't. Because now that child is worse off than ever. And we did bring up earlier, Miles, you weren't with us, we did bring up earlier in the broadcast an example of a lady in Colorado where when these experts are trying to force feed justification for the laws that they're passing. They say 22% of teens don't report their sexual situations, be it the pregnancy or abortion, whatever. 22%. Now, we all know what the percentage is to be considered a whole, right? So 22% out of 100%, I don't think that that's a big enough number to make anybody feel that they have to make an administrative decision for the parents in the whole world, or at least in our country. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. Now, out of that 22% who didn't tell their parents, let's see, 8% fear that they will be physically abused by their parents because their parents beat them before. Okay? Do you think that that 8% and that reason is a good enough reason for them to put this law in place for everybody?
No.
Okay. And of the 12 of those who didn't tell a parent, 12% didn't even live with their parents. So mandatory reporting to their parents is out the window anyway. And 14% of their parents abuse drugs or alcohol. Do you believe that that was a good enough reason for them to make a collective administrative decision for everybody?
Not at all.
Okay. The deal is this. I don't want the viewpoint that I share to be misconstrued, and I'm going to say it for those of you who are just joining in. I do not think that there is no such thing as real abuse in a household. Okay? There's sexual abuse, there's physical abuse, there's emotional abuse, there's spiritual religious fanaticism where people take religious beliefs to, for those of you who are old enough to remember this movie or have seen it, to like Stephen King's Carrie's mom. I think that if there's a mother standing there in a long gown, looking crazed in the head, and smacking you with the word of God and telling you that you getting pregnant is the viable sin of all time, yes, that's abusive. Because you just told your child that she did a human thing, got into a human situation, and she's the Jezebel of all heathen. Okay? So, yes, in those cases, I do believe that law should be in place to protect the child, not to remove the rights of a parent to know. But in that case, those parents aren't being very good parents in the first place. But there should be help. For those that are crazy, take them to a mental ward. For those that are drinking, there must be some pain behind it. People don't become alcoholics simply because they like the taste of alcohol. There's usually something behind it.
Yep. Alcohol is a depressant. That's what nobody understands. Alcohol is a depressant.
Okay. Now, I don't know. This is in the same article, but I think that they're saying this in to support their theory, not to just speak on an objective manner. The next category in this article is says, governmental intrusion into family relationships does not create stronger families. Now, before I get into what they wrote under that, I agree. I agree, but I agree in opposite of what they're saying now. They're saying that teens who feel they cannot safely turn to their parents, for those teens, governmental coercion doesn't change anything. Does it change anything for teens that would tell? Okay, well, there's no evidence that mandating parental involvement actually increases the rate at which teens will tell their parents about their pregnancies or their planned abortion. Is there any proof that keeping a parent's right intact wouldn't eventually allow a parent and a child to come to a communication bridging either? Where after the shock is over and the hot points have cooled off, that they don't come to a sound, necessary decision together? So how is the government forcing you to do anything on either side, helping a situation that should be a natural flow between families, a private matter between families? And I'm not talking about your perverted uncles that are feeling up on your nieces, or your aunts doing the same with your nephews, or, you know, those of you that are predators and pedophiles and incestuous people. Okay? You guys do not qualify for this conversation. I'm talking about ideal parents. I'm talking about regular old families that all teens think their parents are aliens, and all parents are starting to believe their sweet babies are pod people that were shipped from another planet as a teenager.
See, that's what I'm saying, Katie. I mean, what's the big deal about, you know, why does it have to be private? Are these teens that scared of their parents? Like you said, it's like, you know, like you said, they see us as aliens, you know? And the thing is, we grew up the same way as they did. We grew up, you know, we went through all the craziness. And yes, if we didn't tell our parents something, they found out sooner or later.
Right, and what I meant by private sweetheart was not the teens keeping their situation private. I meant the government minding their own damn business when it comes to a parent raising their child. That's a private matter. That is the reason why America is a free country.
It's too free on that part.
To be a free country. That is the reason why God gave a mother and a father the child, not the government.
Exactly.
And the government's interference is supposed to be in extreme situations where nothing can come to a point without danger being imposed to the child and to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the government is involved. That's when somebody who you don't know is supposed to have the ability to make a decision.
Yeah. I mean, if the government wants to be involved, fine. Let them be involved, fine. Pull the privacy bill. But then also, I feel that they should put, okay, since the child, since you're sexually active, then you know what? Here's a counselor. You and your mom and your dad have to all talk about it and reconcile about this. So you, at least your parents know what the hell's going on. This is, you know, you are their child. You know, at least do something like that to have the parent involved. They shouldn't have a wall in between themselves and the child not knowing what's going on in their kid's life.
Exactly. Everybody has to listen. Do they not understand that parenting, there's no right or wrong way to do it, because every family is different, every child is different. The only thing that we can make a universal understanding is that, you know, beating your child to within an inch of their life, for those of you just joining me who didn't hear me say this, you know, picking up a crowbar and burning the ends of it and branding your child like cattle. I mean, we could safely deduce and with common sense that isn't a way to do certain things. Okay, that's not going to teach your child how to, you know, respect you. That's going to instill fear and scar the kid. We're not talking that. All right? Yes, there are times where, you know, the hand and the physical discipline shouldn't be the first thing that comes to your mind, even though our elders definitely only knew that way, and we didn't turn out bad at all because of it. But the difference is that when they raised the rod, they also, while your butt was still throbbing from whatever it is they gave you, they explained to you exactly why they did what they did. You understand? That's something that doesn't happen now. And that's when I believe it's abuse, when all they're doing is just getting belted for no reason. But at the same token, people don't seem to understand that there is no one set plan that you follow to parent. And especially those that's never birthed a child or had a little swimmer that created a child, who the hell are you to say what a child's rearing is?
Katie?
Jump it up and get to a solution. And I let him go when they said to me, you couldn't tell me, what I was missing. Oh,
too many hurts, too many feelings.
Shouldn't be easy just to say I'm changing, I'm walking away. Maybe it's time we let's jump it up and get to a solution.
Ain't no need to fake it, baby.
It's called the
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show. Again, we're having a little bit of a power outage in the studio, so just bear with us. We are going to be bringing this broadcast to a close very soon, but I want to thank the panelists that showed up tonight to offer their input and, you know, their viewpoints on the situation. And I do want to reiterate that it's not in any way but saying that those children that are suffering at the hands of truly abusive parents or in truly abusive situations, do these laws not have some sort of purpose of protection? But these situations or these laws should be in place for those specific extreme cases. I don't think that teens should be given the message that it is okay for you to delve into whatever your newly hormonal body is experiencing, to jump into a life-changing, life-altering situation that could lead you to the worst of things or the best of things. And I don't think that teens understand or these impersonal officials understand that a parent's role in a child's life after God is first, foremost, and constant. You will change the face of your medical provider as you get older, as you move away from a state, but your parents will always be your parents. And no matter what their initial reaction might be, no matter what they say in the middle of a shoot from the hip scenario, at the end of it all, the situation is not going to seem so bad, and all that's going to count is your well-being. So rather than you give in to what must be a difficult situation when you get caught or when something comes out or when a situation like this happens, you need to turn to your parents. If you have a parent that's not beating you with a brick on a daily basis or taking drugs or molesting you or touching you or doing something like that. And government, you don't have the right to get into a fundamental right that this country is on, one of them. The sacred bond, the sacred relationship between parents and their children, unless the parents themselves has done something or the child themselves has done something that has violated and contaminated that sacred bond. Children are confused enough in this day and age. They lack options enough in this day and age. Okay, we don't need to make it any worse on ourselves in this fight to protect our children by allowing the people that we vote in to tell us how we should handle our children and that our children are not allowed to let us know if they've been raped and got pregnant, if they had sex and got pregnant or an STD or needs to take a pregnancy test. At some point in time, you need to allow them to go back to the roots that they were naturally attached to. On the Edge continues to try their best to empower youth, to advocate for youth, to restore these communities, to get people informed, because a lot of parents are just as uninformed as their innocent children or their young children. And to those of you that I say things that, you know, seem harsh, if the shoes are not your size, don't put your feet in them. Because I'm obviously not speaking to any of you. If you are doing your jobs, by all means, this is what this show is for. For all of us to unite and empower ourselves and empower those that don't know. So with that being said, I want to thank all of my guests, my panelists, my 11,405 listeners, all of the politicians, political activists, community activists, leaders, all of our behind-the-scenes supporters, officially, my team, those of you that are out there listening, the teens that are listening, the teenagers that I have, hopefully this has touched you in some way, okay? And reach out to your parents as much as you think that they don't listen or they don't understand you. They weren't brought to earth full grown. All right, so until tomorrow, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. God bless you. See you here tomorrow night at 8.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.